The path to perfect peace. So if you turn your Bible to Romans chapter number 5, and we'll start reading here in verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 here says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Verse 8, But God commendeth, that word commendeth, hey, it just means proved. Just means He proved it, right? "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Going to talk to you today, the path to perfect peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, we are grateful again to be here in Your house, Lord. And I'm grateful for Your truth, Lord. I'm grateful for Your love, that You loved us even when we were sinners, condemned to die and go to a place of eternal torment in hell. But Lord, out of Your love, You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, and He died and He paid it all on that cross of Calvary. But He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. And Lord, we have salvation only through Him. And so, Lord, I pray You fill me with Your Spirit now here today. Lord, I pray You give me Your wisdom and Your words, and I pray You do what You do, and that's to speak to hearts here today. And Lord, maybe there is somebody here over the internet, Lord, that needs to call on You today for salvation, Lord. Have Your will and way, we pray here today. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, peace. Peace is more than a symbol. It's more than a saying. Peace is something that every person in this world longs for, yet very few people actually ever possess it. People all over the world today are searching for peace. You see, many people will search in a bottle. In a bottle of alcohol, they won't find peace there. Many people will turn to pills in search of that peace, but they never find it. They search for peace in a person, in a place, in money, in things, and they never find peace in any of those things. Hey, some people search for peace through their own good works. If that's you, if you're trying to appease God by your works, you're on a dead-end road. A dead-end road that will lead into condemnation. There is no peace offered in this world. You can search for it. You can dive into things, but you will not find peace in this world that we live in. Many of the rich and famous people, you know, those Hollywood people, right? They search for peace, and many of them people would trade in all their wealth and all their fame and all their fortune for just a moment of peace. Many of those Hollywood people, right, those famous people, they end up committing suicide because they never find peace. And they've gone down all the dead-end roads and they never found peace. Let me tell you, money and things will not bring you peace in this world. Many people who've gone on and won the lottery. Oh, right, I want to win the lottery, right? Many people that's gone on and won the lottery die early death. All that money, they go broke. All those troubles, they end up dying early death. You see, many people think that peace is in a politician. Many people think that peace is in the White House with a certain group of people, but the government will not bring peace, and no politician will bring peace. Peace does not come when man is right with man. Peace comes when man is right with God. Okay? Only through Jesus Christ will you find peace. John, In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus said this. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, Jesus Christ is that source of peace. Jesus Christ is the only peace. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have peace. Peace, by definition, peace means this. Peace means to bind together, to join, to weave together. It means that a person is bound, woven, and joined together with God. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and it just means basically freedom from troubles. It means experiencing the highest good. It means enjoying the very best and possessing all the inner good possible. But I like this. I like what Paul said in Philippians 4:7. He says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." You see, when you're enjoying God's peace, when you're enjoying the peace that only Jesus Christ can give, there is joy in this life. You see, I don't have many things, but if you have Jesus, you have everything. You see, there is contentment in this life. Paul was in prison and in bounds, yet he still had joy. He had that perfect peace. So today I'm going to look here at the path of perfect peace. Number one, I want you to see here your need for peace with God. I want you to see your need for peace here today in Romans chapter 5. Look there in verse 1. Romans chapter 5, look there in verse number 1. It says here, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to know that peace is not a feeling. Okay? Peace is not a feeling. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about peace being a feeling or anything about where to feel a certain way. Peace with God begins here by justification by faith. That word justification is a legal term, and it means to be declared righteous before God. It means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. In God's eyes, I've been justified. I'm righteous not by my good works, but by what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And He makes me just as if I've never sinned. But I'm telling you, the Christian life is not based on feelings. Many people talk about feelings. I feel this way. I don't feel this way. Our feelings lie to us. Would you agree with me on that? One moment we're up, the next moment we're down. Today I'm happy and I'm excited. Tomorrow I'm in the gutters. Right? Our feelings lie. Christian life is a life of faith. A life of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So why do I need to be justified by faith? Why? Because your sins and your iniquities have separated us all from God. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, the Bible tells us that. It says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you." You see, our sin has separated us from a holy, righteous God. And what that means is that we are at enmity with God. Look there in verse number 10, Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10 there, where we started out, it says, "For if when we were enemies," we were enemies, you get that? Right? We are enemies with God because of our sin. He goes on and says, "We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." You see, no matter what we do, we are a sinner. The Bible tells us that. And because of our sin, we are enemies of God. We are at enmity with God. We can't obey God's law. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you will be never be acceptable to God. Flip over a couple pages to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, I want to show you a couple of verses here. We know Paul went through a lot of things. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, we know that. But Paul also knew what it was like here, and I'm going to look here. He knew about the flesh. He knew what sinful flesh was like. And he warns us here in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He tells us about the battle of our flesh and the spirit. He says, In Romans 7:15, he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Right? He's talking about that flesh, right? That battle that's going on with that the Holy Spirit in us. Flesh that still wants to drive into this world and do the things that we used to do. And there's that flesh and the world's drawing it to us. And the Holy Spirit is pounding us and saying, no, 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 no. And look at verse 18, a couple verses down. Look at verse 18. He says, "For I know that in me," get this, "that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." He's saying there's no good thing in my flesh. But see, that's opposite of what we think. We think we are full, so full of pride. We think we're up here, right? And oh, look at me. I'm so good. I have a King James Bible. I wear a suit. Oh, ladies, look at me. I'm dressed like a lady in a skirt and a dress. Look at me. But no, God, He's saying here, hey, this is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You see, we are at enmity with God. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul is a saved man here. He is the saved man, and he's warning us about that old man, the man that used to be, the man that was for 38 years of my life, that man that is still there, that man that still wants to pop up and tempt me out into this world to do things, to go back to those days, right? Those things in my mind. And Paul's warning us here that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. You see, at salvation, we do not lose the flesh, we still have that battle. We got to understand that. We have that battle. And you and I, the way we stand in our flesh, we cannot obey God's law. It cannot happen. You see, the law was given to be our schoolmaster. It was given to show us that we don't measure up. It was given to show us that every time we try to keep the law, we fail. We fail. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We fail to keep the law. Now, many of you might be like I was in the past. A new year, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do better this year, right? Many have tried, but many will fail. You cannot do it because in the flesh it doesn't work. Now, it may work for a moment, right? But our flesh, our selfish desires, that driving force within us is going to push us back to that sin. Why is that? Well, that's because we've all sinned. The Bible says sin is our nature. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." You see, sin is enmity with God, and it brings condemnation with God. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now, I do want you to look at this verse in John chapter 3. So turn over to John chapter 3. And I want you to look here at verse number 18. Right, you know John 3:16, the famous verse there. But we'll go a couple verses down here. I want you to get this here in John 3:18. Right, many people say they're a good person and their good works is going to take them to heaven. And they never, and like me, I said I didn't murder anybody and never robbed a bank. You know, I must be pretty good. You know, I'm pretty good. But let's look here. I want you to see this in verse 18. Get this here. He says, "He that believeth on Him," talking about Jesus, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." All right, get that. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been saved, you've been born again, you're not condemned. But you've got to see this next part. He says, "But he that believeth not is condemned already." You say, "But preacher, I'm a good person. But preacher, I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't cheat." That's okay. You're still a sinner, and sin has separated us from God. The Bible says here, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you are condemned already. He goes on here, he says, "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's the truth. The truth of the matter is not someday down the road, many years from now, when you die, you'll be condemned. No, he's saying you're condemned already. You're already living under the condemnation. You are condemned right at this very moment. If you've never been born again, you're condemned. Jesus talks in this same verse, in this same chapter, he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. And Jesus tells him in John chapter 3 and verse 3 there, he says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless you repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are on that road of condemnation right now, right here today. And let me tell you, it's only one heartbeat away. It's only one heartbeat away. One heartbeat is the only thing keeping you out of hell. And there are so many ways that this old ticker can stop a ticking, isn't there? Right? I've read stories where people have tried to escape a storm. Right? They go to a safe place, but only a tree falls on that safe place. Something like that, right? Something happens. When it's time to go, it's time to go. And when the old ticker stops a ticking, you go off into eternity. It's heaven or hell. Which one are you going to? The Bible says if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not condemned. But if you don't believe on Him, you're condemned already. Your heart stops beating off into eternity like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. And in hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. He's still there today, folks. Hell is not purgatory. You do not get out of it. It is permanent. It is forever. And condemnation, get this, that word condemnation means this. It means that God declares you guilty, and that is a declaration of war. It is. You may remember a president we had, FDR. He made this famous speech when we declared war against Japan. And it went something like this. He said, "Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan." And so what happened? We declared war on Japan. We declared war and entered into World War II. Let me tell you, if you're lost, you've never been born again, you have never believed on Jesus Christ, you are at war with God. You are at war at God. Think about for a moment. Do you think you're ever going to win against God? Does anybody think they can win against God? Many have tried, and many will fail. Many will always fail. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, it says, "Wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, when Adam ate of that fruit in the garden, he broke the law of God. He broke God's law. God said, "Don't." He did it, and God declared him guilty. And now, if we want to blame somebody, don't blame God. Blame Adam. Blame the devil, right? Adam's sin came into the world because of his sin, and it passed all the way down here to you and I, here today, that same condemnation, that same word, guilty, guilty, guilty before God. Listen, you can be here today. You can ignore the Word of God. You can ignore the need for peace in your life, and you can die and go to hell. Or you can see your need for peace with God here today and get born again. Not only do you need to see the need, but I want you to see the nature of peace. Secondly here, we'll see the nature of peace with God. In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 22, the Bible says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." There is no peace unto the wicked. Those without Jesus Christ, let me tell you, those without Jesus Christ will never experience peace in this life or in the afterlife. They will never experience peace. If you're searching for peace in your own good works, not going to happen. You are on a disappointing journey. You are on a road that leads to sorrow and misery and condemnation. But let me tell you, peace is also this. Peace is not trying to appease God with your good works. Okay, I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 3. I want to look at this here with Adam and Eve. Right? So Adam and Eve, when Adam ate of that fruit, sin into the world, we know that. And they lived in the garden. It was a perfect place. God had one command: don't eat off of the fruit of this tree. His wife ate it, gave it to Adam. He ate it. Sin entered into the world. And in Genesis chapter 3, I want to read a few verses here. Look at verse 7. It says here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Sad verses there, isn't it? Sin came in, Adam hid himself. Let me tell you, if you are without Jesus Christ today, you are standing naked before a very holy and righteous God. When Adam realized that, he was standing naked before God, he went and he hid himself. How many of you try to hide yourselves? How many of us try to hide from God? You can always tell when somebody's in sin, they'll hide. Right? Somebody's trying to hide their sin, they're hiding. But let me tell you, point being this, God sees right through the heart. You say, but I go into my secret place, in my closet where nobody can see me. God sees you. God sees right through the heart. Let me tell you, you can run, but you can't hide. You can pretend, but that is not reality. There is no place to hide. The nature of peace is there is no peace without Jesus Christ. You cannot fool God. People think they can fool Him, but they cannot fool God. You can think, oh, I'm righteous. No, you're not. He knows the difference. You can't fool Him. Adam tried it, and he failed. And many others have tried it as well. But I want you to see also, peace is not trying to be at peace with God. Peace is not a trying to be at peace with God. God is either your best friend or He's your enemy. In James chapter 2, in verse 23, the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was known as a friend of God, but let me tell you, you don't make him your friend by being friendly to him. Right, I've talked with people and they say, oh yeah, me and God. Right? Me and God have this, we have this agreement. No, you don't. All right? No, you don't. You don't have an agreement with God. I hate to burst your bubble, right? God doesn't come down to your level, right? God is the creator. We are the creation, right? God gets to make the rules the way He wants them to, right? God is God. You say, oh, but I'm trying, preacher. I'm trying really hard. Look. All the attempts that we make to try, they're all going to fail because we come up short every single time. In Romans 8, verse 7, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity of God. Remember, that's a declaration of war. We are at war with God. If you're not born again, you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an enemy because that's our sin nature. Sin has separated us from God. In Isaiah 64:6, the Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You get that? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. What does that mean? That means everything that I think that is good about me, God says it's filthy rags. It's no good. But listen, like I said, I've never murdered anybody. I've not robbed a bank. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't cheat. You know, I don't do all these things. Doesn't matter. God says all my righteousnesses as our filthy rags. You can't have peace with God on your own. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Let me tell you, you die without Jesus Christ, you go to hell. You walk out of here today and something bad happens, Lord willing, that's not the case. But if you've never been born again, Revelation 20:14 and 15 says, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's eternal torment. That is eternal torment, separation from the Lord Jesus Christ, separated from heaven. Listen, you cannot bring enough goodness to the table to appease God. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough. You say, oh, I just keep coming up short all the time. Why is that? That's true. Yes, because I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It has nothing to do with a church membership. It has nothing to do with being baptized. Listen, you can go and join every church there is in the Macon area, and that's not going to get you to heaven. You say, hey, after that, you can go and be baptized in every single one of those churches. That's not going to get you to heaven. You got to have your name written in the book of life, not in the book of the church roll, right? Not of Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. His mercy. So how can I obtain peace? Let me give you the last thing here today. Thirdly, I want you to see the source of peace with God is Jesus Christ. The source of peace. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll see here that source of peace with God is only in Jesus Christ. You will not find any peace outside of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For He is our what? He is our peace. Do I need to read any further? I'm going to, but He is our peace, right? For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, get that word enmity there again, right? Even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that we might be reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You see, Jesus Christ is the source of peace because He eliminated the enmity of the law against us. You see, remember, we were guilty, guilty, guilty. He took all that guilt on Him. Before Jesus Christ, we had to go through the law. Again, that law showed us we're guilty. The law did not make us acceptable to God. It condemned us before a holy, righteous God. Every time we sinned, guilty. Every time we broke the law, guilty. We never measured up. Never, never, never. But now, Jesus did away with all that. He did away with the enmity. He did away with the condemnation. And flip back over to where we started in Romans chapter 5. And look there. I'm going to give you a few verses here. But Romans chapter 5, look there in verse number 1. Jesus Christ paid it all to reconcile us to God. In Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, He paid it all. That's where peace comes from. Now scroll down to verse number 6. I'm going to read you a couple of verses here. He says in Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, again, you remember, prove, right? But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Jesus Christ is the only way to find peace. He paid it all on that cross of Calvary. Hey, you could go to the psychologist. Hey, they're going to say, make peace with yourself, but that's hogwash. You need to make peace with God. You want to get to heaven, you got to come through Jesus Christ. We all need peace with God, and that's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is it. And in Acts 4:12, He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is it. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary. And so what does it look like? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace, there's that grace again, the amazing grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, it's a free gift. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary, and He offers every single one of us a free gift. It's just like Christmas. Say you come in here, and it's Christmas time, and I say, Merry Christmas, I have a gift, a present for every single one of you. All you got to do is come get it. You got to come get it. Right? Some of you come, and you take the gift, and you make it your own. You receive that gift, and it's yours. Right? You go home, and it's yours. But some of you stay in your seat, and you say, you know what? You know, I got enough of those gifts. I don't really want another gift, okay? So I'll just, you keep your gift, okay? Right? And that's the choice we have. We can take the gift, we can receive the gift, or we can reject it. But it's all by grace. All by God's amazing grace. Grace is this. Grace is getting what I do not deserve. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve heaven. Okay? None of us do. Faith is having absolute and total trust in Jesus Christ. Many people say, oh yeah, I trust in Jesus, but then they add things. They add baptism. They add church attendance. They add church being members of church. They add stuff to it. But faith is absolute, total trust in Jesus Christ alone. In what, you say? In the gospel. Paul says in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And the gospel message is found in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Hey, the gift is that. That is the gift. It's all wrapped up. It's all signed, sealed, and delivered. It's already been accomplished. It's already been paid for. But have you received the gift? You're here today, and I ask you the question, have you received the gift of salvation? Many people say, well, why would God do that? Why would He leave heaven, take on flesh, and die a brutal death like that? Because He loves you. Because He loves you, and it is the only way for a sinner, you and me, to get back to heaven. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, over and over again, it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not about works. You see, you receive Jesus Christ. He gives you a home in heaven. You'll have peace with Him. And you know what else? We're no longer His enemy. We no longer is His enemy. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." And he goes on in verse 5, he says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." There's that word again, grace. You see, God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, He paid it all. True peace is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And every single one of us can have that peace here today. Some of you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe somebody hasn't. Maybe someone is searching for that peace. And these verses, these words, the Word of God pricking your heart through the Holy Spirit will let you see your need of a Savior here today. In Colossians 1:20, the Bible says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross." The blood of Jesus Christ shed out on that cross. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, tribulations await us. Every single one of us has storms. When we leave out this door, we're going to go through. We have storms we're going through right now. Some storms will come up tomorrow, maybe next week, but there's going to be storms. But Jesus Christ gives us peace in those storms. He gives us peace in those storms. He leads us. You know, when you get saved, things change in your life. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Hey, you want to please Him? Start with salvation. Get born again. Hey, salvation settles all of the issues. It settles the separation issues. Hey, you talk about coming to church. Salvation will settle that. If you don't want to come to church, I would say check your salvation. Right? Because if you're saved, you should want to be in church every time the doors are open. Right? Not just 1 hour a week. That's not going to cut it. Right? Salvation will settle the soul winning. Salvation will settle all the issues that there is. Just be at peace with God. You can fight it. You can fight it. You can fight it, but it's not going to go away. That conviction of that Holy Spirit is going to keep pricking your heart, pricking your heart, pricking your heart. You see, has there ever been a time and a place where you knew for sure you received that gift? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And so I ask you, when was it? For me, I was 38 years old. 38 years old, but where were you? Maybe you were in church, maybe you were young, maybe you were older like I was. But when was it? You got to know. You got to know for sure. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "So these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus, that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life." He wants us to know. He's given us the book so we can know we have eternal life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Hey, maybe you're here today. You need to get born again. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. You can come forward. And I can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Christian, let me ask you this. Do you have peace of God in your life? Do you have peace of God? Are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Has salvation settled all of the separation issues in your life? Maybe some need to come to the altar today. Maybe some haven't been to the altar. Maybe the Word of God's been convicting you about being faithful. Maybe the Word of God's been convicting you about service, about going out, about doing more. But as long as you continue to fight it, it's not going to go away. You can come forward today and get peace. Don't leave here without peace. Peace for salvation. Yes, but peace in just knowing the perfect peace that passes all understanding. Only through Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray.